Welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner Podcast. Today, you are getting three lovely student loan planner consultants, and we are going to be talking all things dads. Father's Day is just around the corner, and so I've got Megan here with me, and the dad of all dads for a student loan planner, Rob Burtman. Come on down. Yay!
What a great intro.
Yeah, I wish. Can you come over to my house and like do that in front of my kids? That'd be wonderful.
Psych them up.
I'm sure your kids have a really cool intro that they do for you every Father's Day.
Yeah.
What do you like to do for Father's Day, Rob? Since it's your day, what is your preference?
Well, you know, Father's Day is always interesting. And I feel like Mother's Day is the same way, because in a lot of ways, you know, sometimes we're so tired, we need a break from our kids. And so it's kind of like we want to maybe use that time to be by ourselves. But on the other hand, you know, it is the dad or the mom on Mother's Day. And it's like, well, yeah, we do have to make time for our kids. So usually I'll just do my own thing in the morning, maybe go take a walk or go to the gym or something like that. And then, you know, kind of hang out with the family a little bit, go to the pool if it's nice out. And, you know, I mean, nothing too exciting. Maybe I'll go see a movie. I'm sort of like low maintenance, and I'm not a golfer. I know a lot of dads golf. I've tried. I'm like horrible at it. And so I don't need to take, you know, the 3, 4, 5 hours in the morning to go do that. So I just take things at an easy pace as much as I can.
Sounds like a very relaxing day.
Yeah, it's like nice to have some of the pressure off on Mother's Day. You know, I sort of step it up and say, whatever you want to do, go do it. And then on Father's Day, my wife does the same thing for me. So it's nice.
Nice. Any dad jokes you want to introduce the podcast with today?
Well, I asked my kids this. And so I have three kids. I have two boys. They're 11 and 9 years old. And then I have a 4-year-old daughter. So one of my favorites is kids always ask like, hey, have you seen my whatever toy, or have you seen my stuffed animal? And I say, oh, I know where it is. And they say, oh, where? I say, exactly where you left it. And that drives them crazy.
They probably hate that one.
They do. They hate all the jokes. You know, every time I make a bad one, my kids all go dad jokes with like a, you know, sarcastic look on their face. But little do my sons know that they're going to end up telling these same horrible jokes to their kids someday. Hopefully. That's what my hope is for them. The lives and dreams of my kids is to tell bad dad jokes when they become dads.
I love it. I'm a sucker for dad jokes. I love them so much. I'll tell my favorite one. Y'all ready for this? I'm not a dad, obviously. We do not have kids. But this one is so funny to me. Why did the blind man fall into the well?
Why?
Because he couldn't see that well. I don't know why, but this one is my favorite. Like, I laugh so hard every time I hear it or think about it. So that's mine for today.
I'm not going to lie. It took me a second to catch, and I'm like, what? I'm like, oh!
Well, I will say too, like Lauren, do you have a favorite dad joke of yours?
I do not have any dad jokes. I am not the funny person of the family.
Well, I was going to say, you know, some of the perks is I've always been a little bit of a child at heart. And so I love roller coasters. You know, I love superhero movies. Like, I liked them even before they became super popular. And now I can wear an Iron Man t-shirt or a Captain America t-shirt. And instead of, you know, looking like a fool, I'm like a good dad. I'm a hero. Because, oh, my kids got this for me. You know, oh, that's so nice. You're wearing what your kids got you. Instead of being like, who's that random dude wearing superhero t-shirts all the time?
Yeah, Marvel fan to the max over there.
yeah, for sure.
Some of you may be saying, well, what are we going to say about student loans today? Never fear, never fear. This is the Student Loan Planner Podcast, and we do have lots of stuff to tell you to help you with your student loans. One of the things I wanted to kind of share was how empowered some of the dads I've come across have become as a result of getting a student loan plan. I've gotten so many stories of clients that I've worked with that just said, wow, I feel like the protector of my family. I feel the need to provide for my family. I don't want my kids to be strapped with this student loan debt the same way that I am. And I want to do the right things, but I did not know how to kind of get clarity around student loans, and are so grateful for the consultation that they feel like they can go off and they can really be the best dad, the best husband to their family now that they have some clarity around their finances and they can really step into that role of provider and not feel so overwhelmed about like, how am I going to figure this out? And also keep a roof over their heads, keep them fed, you know, maybe save for their college, et cetera. And so that's one of the things that's really rewarding about the work that we've been able to do and the people that we've been able to help. Does anybody else have a story about dads that have been impacted?
So Lauren, I do agree with you that oftentimes, you know, dads feel like, And it's definitely changing, as it should. But, you know, dads often do feel that pressure to be the provider, the financial provider. I mean, I know when I started my own business 5 years ago, I felt enormous pressure to carry that weight and to get my income back up quickly. You know, my wife, she works full time. Like, she's got a very great career. She's an owner. She's a partner in her at her firm. And so she's crushing it, fortunately, right? But still, I just always had this thing like, I need to be the one to like be the provider for my kids. And I felt kind of inadequate when I wasn't bringing in an income those first couple of years. And, you know, as it relates to student loans too, you know, we kind of feel like, I know what it's like to feel like a failure if you feel like your family isn't financially ready to tackle certain things. Now, fortunately, you know, my wife is pretty understanding, and I've had to kind of just kind of get over it so I can kind of pursue what I need to do. And we kind of trade off. So my job and the way my thing works is I have a bunch of flexibility during the day. So any logistics, kid logistics and shuffling, that's me. And so my wife can just do her 8 to 6 kind of thing. And then we kind of come together later. I will say too, that just from a financial responsibility standpoint, in terms of managing the family finances, a lot of times when I'm working with clients, especially at Family Budget Expert, I see sort of typically the women take on the role of like the budgeter and the planner, and the husbands are like the earners sometimes. But then other times the men feel the obligation, the husbands and dads feel the obligation to like take all the finances on their shoulders and kind of let their spouse, you know, their wife typically just do what they do. And it does create a lot of pressure to kind of do the right thing. So I don't really have any specific stories that I would want to share at the moment, but I definitely see that pressure there. I think you're right on, Lauren.
Yeah, I love the way you talked about like shedding gender roles and how, you know, the typical is the woman's in this role or the man's in this role sort of thing. And, you know, that stuff is getting old and worn out. Like who came up with these things that we have to like live in these boxes? Life is all about creating the life that works for you and your family. So gender roles don't have to be a thing. And we have to kind of help people shed that pressure of I'm the man, I have to provide. And you know what society is telling us? We've got to do what's best for our families. And I just want to give a shout out to all the dads out there that are doing awesome things, being awesome parents, and let you know that this debt does not have to hold you back from being an awesome dad, whether you are the breadwinner or not, whether you're staying at home with your children or not. No matter what your situation is, there is a solution and there's a light at the end of the tunnel as it pertains to student loan debt. Megan, I think actually you have a good story about a dad that took on a good bit of student loan debt on behalf of his children.
Yeah, so I did recently have a case with Parent Plus loans, and we run across these time and time again. And Parent Plus loans are a little more difficult because they don't have as many repayment options. And unfortunately, at first, this person came to me who had also been, I don't want to say scammed, but had fallen victim to working with one of those document prep companies. Their trick of the trade is to consolidate loans and submit your paperwork for you ethically, being honest or not. A lot of times I don't see them being honest. But in this case, this person has Parent Plus loans. They had consolidated their loans a number of different times because they had 5 children. So this man had 5 children he was putting through school. He felt it his obligation to support them. His wife was a school teacher. If we could rewind time and I could have flagged them down before they started borrowing, I would have said, hey, maybe put those Parent Plus loans under mom because she's a school teacher and we could potentially go towards PSLF. But by the time they had come to us, it was a little too late. They were about to head into retirement and they were really scared about this income contingent repayment plan that they have, because if you know anything about income contingent repayment, it's the most expensive repayment plan that we have. It's 20% of someone's discretionary income. Actually has a lower poverty line deduction too. So there's not a lot of help with that plan. And this person had over 300,000 of Parent Plus loans, and they're trying to go into retirement thinking, you know, there's just no way, we're going to have to keep working. But over picking through their file, I had to do a little bit of digging into their text file that we ask folks to submit to dissect their loans. And this consolidation company didn't do this on purpose, but by fate, accident, whatever you want to call it, they had consolidated their loans so many times to where they opened access to repay and IBR without knowing it. And that's the process or the loophole we call double consolidation. So we were looking through and I'm looking at the timelines and I'm thinking there was clearly 2 direct consolidation loans that or combined to open access to these lower income driven plans. So sure enough, we went ahead and we applied. I said, hey, it looks like it. Let's not get excited yet. But we went ahead and applied for it. And they were approved for one of the lower income driven plans, 10% or 15%. We ended up doing income based repayment so they could file separately to exclude the spousal income. But it was crazy because a mistake that they thought they had made by going to the wrong type of help in the past actually worked out. Again, I think by accident, but that was something I was able to uncover and really helped with their planning, because now their payment is cut literally in half compared to what it was going to be on income contingent repayment. And they feel like, you know, now they can go and retire. So Parent PLUS loans, they're kind of nasty, but there are solutions we can find for those guys. You know, I felt so happy that he was able to kind of take a breather, like, because he was trying to do the right thing. And he said that so many times in the call. And I just wanted to reach out and hug him and be like, you know, I understand this was not something that you meant to put your family through in this case, but it turned out to be a really good result. And it really just had to do with picking through and understanding what options he did have available. And it's, you know, he didn't think to apply for a different repayment plan because that document prep company, all they said was, you have Parent PLUS loans, they don't qualify. So it took an expert to just review it, make sure we crossed all bridges before we closed the book on that story. And it ended up with a really good result. So I was excited about that one.
That is a really warm and fuzzy story. So glad that they were able to kind of, like you said, find that light at the end of the tunnel. And I think you brought up a really good thing. I want to throw in a tip there that you can't move your loans, your Parent PLUS loans, into the name of the other parent. And you also cannot move them into the name of the child unless you refinance them into the name of the child. So, you know, those are your kind of free tips for the day. A lot of times people come and they say, oh, you know, my child is doing something in public service and I got these loans for them and I wanted to pass them over so we can get the forgiveness and we weren't sure how to get them over there. And you have to be the bearer of bad news, letting them know that you can't move the loans over. So another important aspect of just having a strategy around who is the best person to take out those loans and what's the best way to go about it. Rob, I was wondering if you could jump in one with the dad joke, because I know you got lots of them, but two, to share a little bit about how people kind of end up with Parent PLUS loans and, you know, what your experience has been with when they need to take them on and what the circumstances are versus the other types of loans that exist and things.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess I'll start with another dad joke. So I should preface all this by saying, so I'm the youngest of four kids. And so I'm the baby, which means that I can be the most annoying person on the face of the planet.
So, really? You have a bratty side?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I've made my siblings cry by being so annoying. You know, there was this old SNL skit, this comedian, John Lovitz, who played this character, Annoying Man. He was always on the Weekend Update with Dennis Miller when he was the Weekend Update host. But that was my nickname growing up, was Annoying Man. So, so.
I don't know if I believe it. I'll have to ask your siblings.
Oh, they'll gladly tell you. You know, so I like to not just, when my kids, they ask me, you know, hey, dad, can I do this? Can I do that? If they haven't gotten all their stuff done, the answer is always no, right? So no A before B kind of stuff. But sometimes kids are relentless and they just keep asking. And so there's this song, it's called Nobody. And I forget who it's by, but I think it came about in the 70s. So if my kids keep asking me, I will just kind of sing this song to them. I'll just start saying, no, 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 no. And I'll just go on for like 5 minutes. And then every time they ask me, I do it again. And they yell at me to stop, but I don't.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I guess maybe not so much a joke, but more of like a tormenting technique for kids.
Because,
you know, you got to give it back. You got to give it back to them.
Somebody's writing that down right now. Like, I'm totally doing that to my kids tonight. Like,
oh, for sure. It works because they leave you alone, right? That's the goal, is to have the kids leave you alone. I'm just kidding.
There you go.
Yeah. So I would say there's two primary reasons for people to, you know, let's just talk about dads since this is the Father's Day episode, although it could be the moms too, to take out Parent PLUS loans. And one reason is obviously financially, right? So for undergrad, there's a limited amount that a student can borrow. And so just from a financial perspective, if the funds aren't available, the parents will take out Parent PLUS loans to pay for their kids. The other reason is just mainly out of feeling like some sort of financial obligation to pay for the kids' college. Like, hey, this isn't your fault. I didn't have things set up like I wanted to financially. And so I'm going to take the burden for this. And I would say that in general, you know, if we could wind back the clock when these parents were thinking about taking it out, that, you know, as best we could, we'd probably say, let your kids take out the loans as best you can, because the repayment options are more flexible. They have their careers ahead of them. And a lot of times what I've seen, I'm sure the two of you have seen this too, but even when kids take out the loans in their names for school, a lot of parents feel sort of this obligation to help out with the payments, and also to help out with, maybe they sell their house and they want to give the kids a lump sum to pay off their student loans. And as we all know, that can sometimes be a big mistake, because the parents don't have to do that in order to help the kids out with their college. In some ways, that reminds me, I had a consult, I think it was like a week or two ago, with the kids had taken out loans. There were like three separate kids who had loans in their name. And the dad was going to take like a lump sum and give them that to pay off their loans. But one of the kids qualified for PSLF. One of the kids had a super high debt to income ratio, so pay or repay would have been better. And another one, might have made sense to pay it back. And so what we kind of figured out was, let's let the kids take care of this. If you want to help each of them kind of in their own way, whatever they need help with, like, you can do that. But, you know, sometimes the pressure as parents is to like treat our kids equally, quote unquote, equally. Well, if I'm doing for one, I need to do for the others. Because one of kids' favorite questions is, who's your favorite? Who's your favorite of us? And if you show any sign of showing favoritism, even if it's unintentional, then it can kind of put a rift not only between the parent and the child, but also the siblings. So I would say that kind of going back to your original question is, Parent PLUS loans, there are a lot of things that we can do to help take the burden off of repayment. Just like, perfect example was the one you brought up, Megan. And if parents, like those of you, let's just dads, right? Father's Day episode, dads who are thinking that they want to, their kids had to take out loans to go to school, and now they're thinking about, they got some money freed up, or maybe they don't, but they want to help out. It's still best for the kid to get the best student loan plan in place and make sure you're paying back the loans optimally and not wasting any of your hard-earned money or your kid's hard-earned money to pay back the loans in an inefficient manner.
I think one of the things that stands out about what you said is, like, you know, the trying to treat the kids equitably. I would encourage dads to treat your kids individually, because if we do individually versus equitably, you can definitely focus on each child individually, but there's strategy around every different situation. And it was perfect the way you just described it, Rob, where it was three different kids and one qualified for PSLF. You don't want to throw the same amount at all three kids' loans when it's just going to be an inefficient thing that's not going to be in anyone's financial best interest in that situation. So if you treat them all individually versus equitably, I think you'll come up with a better solution. And there's so many different scenarios that lead people to the situations that they're in. And you kind of alluded to it, you know, the Parent PLUS loans come generally because you don't qualify for as much financial aid, which says like, oh, you made enough money that you should have been able to save for your child's education. However, we know that life is happening for each and every person, and it's happening differently. So while they are using just these numbers and these formulas to calculate what you're available to get, they're not seeing on the other end of it the special needs child that, you know, required additional care, the private school that was necessary because of the neighborhood you maybe lived in, you know, the other things, a parent that got sick along the way and you had to help out and chip in for someone above you, you know, a generation above you, while also taking care of those kids that were underneath you. So for everyone out there that feels some sort of shame or embarrassment about having taken on Parent PLUS loans or not having saved enough, know that everybody's situation is unique and that you're doing a wonderful thing for your children when you decide to take those loans on. Of course, it's always better to plan in advance. Of course, we want to help you get the right strategy in place. But, you know, I also think of out there, you know, we do a lot of talk on single moms and how hard it is for them. But what about the single dads that are out there and trying to make a way? I just want to say we see you and we acknowledge your efforts out there, all the single dads, because there are also those people that step in as father figures and help people get to college or fill out financial aid form, even if they're not the actual biological parent. So to everybody who's wearing that dad hat in some way, shape or form, and wearing it to the best of their ability, I think you all are awesome. I know I went on a little bit of a tangent, but
I love all your tangents, Lauren. They
me too.
They break up the podcast technicalities, because I'm always the technical person. I'm like, case study this, technicalities here. And Lauren's with all the like very positive and uplifting points of the podcast. So I think we balance each other out really well.
For sure.
I wanted to add too, we do offer a pre-debt consult as well as part of one of our offerings. And this is a really good thing to do, I think, if you're someone who's wondering, like, what is the best way to pay for my kids' college? Or what is the best way to pay for my own college? You know, if you're listening to this podcast as the upcoming student, because there are some really proactive things we can do on the front end of borrowing, between which types of loans to borrow, why we would go federal over private or vice versa. And then having those really strategic conversations in advance so we can set ourselves up really well on the back end. Because the repayment, you know, of course, that's what we do day in and day out here at Student Loan Planner. But we also have the unique perspective of, hey, what do we need to do before we borrow to set ourselves up for these really optimal solutions on the back end when we have to start repaying those? So I oftentimes have phone calls with it's usually mom, dad, or dad on the call with the student for those pre-debt consults where we're talking about, you know, hey, we're not talking about the past. You know, we're here to talk about how we're going to move forward and how we're going to fund this education. And here's X, Y, and Z. Here's the best way to do it. So that's something that it's great to have a plan post-graduation, but also know that we can also have a strategic plan before we go to school to set yourself and your child up for success.
Totally 100% agree with that. And a lot of times with dads, just men in general, like we have that sort of like pride or stubbornness that it's like, I know how to do this. I got this, right? But with student loans, it's so complicated that sometimes it's just great to get the information and to know that you're doing the right thing off the get-go. Because a lot of problems come from thinking that we all know what we're supposed to do and kind of like, you know, that machismo kind of like, oh, I got, you know, like, I know what I'm doing here. Like, don't worry, I've read an article about it and I've done some, my research. But I can tell you, I mean, I was a financial professional for 15 years before I started working for a student loan planner, and I had absolutely no idea about this stuff. So we got to put that male bravado, that male, like, I know what I'm doing kind of stuff behind us, because this is so important. And especially for people with multiple kids, you know, a lot of times what we do with the first kid ends up being the deciding factor of what we do with the other kids, especially with student loans. So for example, there could be a parent that took out Parent Plus loans for the first kid, and it, you know, maybe a mistake, maybe they didn't have to, right? If they had known, but then they sort of double down and triple down if they have multiple kids, instead of saying, okay, if I were to start fresh here, you know, because maybe they could pay off those Parent Plus loans and then get, you know, Stafford or Grad Plus loans under the kids' names, and that might be better. So no matter where you're at in your journey, there's always ways to improve and do it better. And so don't feel like you have to like know this stuff, because this stuff is super complicated. So obviously you're listening to this podcast, like you care about student loans, you have a good base of information, but there's so much money at stake here that it's important to really do the research and make sure that it's done the right way, to your point, Megan.
Yeah. I had a dad the other day, actually, that reminds me, Rob, of he had read our website. You know, we give tons of free resources and tools away to help people get educated. And he said, the more that I read, the more I felt like I didn't know where their blind spots might be. And he's like, so I'm coming to you today. I think I have a good plan, but I really just want the peace of mind. I want the clarity, because I don't want to mess this up. You know, I did do that dad thing and take the responsibility of figuring out what was best for my daughter, because she's fresh out of school. But I also realized that while I've learned a lot from all the information you all have given me, that I want someone to look over our situation and make sure that it's customized to making sure she gets started on the right foot. And so in this particular situation, the young lady had the regular undergraduate debt of about $30,000. I think it was like $27,000. And then an additional $150,000 of private debt. So, you know, we've talked a lot today about private or Parent Plus loans. But the alternative when you're borrowing undergraduate is, if you don't qualify for financial aid, that your parent doesn't take on those Parent Plus loans, you take on private debt above and beyond what the federal government will give you. And so we see a lot of situations like this where you're fresh out of school, 20 or 21 years old, you're at entry level income, maybe $30,000 or $40,000. And when you look at your federal loans, it's going to say, hey, you should pay these back because you make more than you owe. But they're not seeing that there's a whole bunch of private debt, you know, behind the scenes, and they're a lot less flexible, a lot higher interest rates. And so he was saying, hey, you know, what is the best way to pay this back? And actually was willing to split down the middle with his daughter the payments. And so it's like, I want to take some responsibility, but I realized that she also needs to take some responsibility, and I want to help her make a budget. So yeah, high five to all the dads out there that are coming up with things and, like I said, doing the research, but also not too proud to say, I need some additional help.
Absolutely. And kind of like what you were talking about before, you know, I'm a big believer, as much as I love my kids and I want to support them, part of that support is helping them understand some personal responsibility. And when it comes to paying for college, I do think it's important for them to have some sort of financial impact from that decision. So, you know, whether they're taking the loans out in their names or after the fact with payments, if the parents are going to cover them or try to help out, or if they do take out Parent PLUS loans, I think the kids do need to contribute a little bit just so they can kind of feel it. My wife, when she went to school, she paid for part of her college, and her parents said, hey, here's how much the tuition is. I want you to calculate how much each hour of class is costing you. And after her dad supporting her and helping make that decision, she never skipped a class in college. Like all throughout college, she made every single class for 4 years because she knew, she's like, if I don't go to this class, that's X amount of dollars. And I don't want to waste that money. I'm paying good money for this. So definitely it's a great opportunity for dads to involve their kids in the financial decision-making that goes into college planning and the impact, the aftermath of getting student loans. Because kids will either run towards what the parent does and do exactly what the parent does, or they'll run in the exact opposite direction.
I don't know what you're talking about, Rob. Every kid listens to their parent exactly all the time. I was totally that kid that was, I can't even tell a lie. I was the one, if you said go left, I was totally going right.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, we all become our parents in some way, shape, or form, or our caregivers or whoever, right? So my kids, whether they like it or not, they're going to pick up some traits from me. And I just hope they pick up the good ones and not the bad ones. But it is important. The more that we involve them and help support them in financial decision-making at this age, as early as possible, but even up into their 20s and 30s, the better off they're going to be.
I 3,000% agree. I know we've done a lot of talking about, you know, dads taking on debt on behalf of their children or trying to help children as they take on debt. But Megan, do you have any advice or, you know, strategies for the dads out there that maybe are, you know, have that six-figure student loan debt and want to be able to provide for their family and, you know, want to be able to put a roof over their head, and they're just trying to navigate life in general in the midst of student loans, but also our parents already? What's some advice for them?
Yeah, I'm a big, big believer that there is a healthy balance between finding your most optimal student loan repayment plan and paying down that debt and being able to save and build wealth for your future. If you're a single father or if you're a father out there with a family and you're trying to figure out what is the best way to tackle my student loan situation, I think there's a rule of thumb that you can think about to narrow down which direction you should be taking your student loan situation. And this is with federal student loans. But if we have federal student loans and our balance is lower or about the same as our income or will be, then that's when we should probably treat it more like a debt. And that's being a little more aggressive with it. So paying it down sooner rather than later, reducing that interest cost over time. Doesn't mean you have to throw every penny at it. I usually do not suggest that in my consults. I think we do need to have money going towards savings. But if we can get an optimal interest rate, maybe with refinancing, then that debt isn't costing us as much. And so we can afford to put money towards retirement or put money towards our kids' college. So that's one side of the coin. The other side is if our debt is, our rule of thumb right now is 1.25 times your annual income. If your balance is greater than your income by that ratio or more, then we should be treating it like a tax. And that's where we're paying as little as possible to maximize how much we can get forgiven. And that's could be through PSLF, but it could be the longer term taxable forgiveness we talk about quite a bit. So when we're going that route, we literally want to pay as little as possible so we can do other things and leverage our money better, because that repayment path is going to be optimal compared to paying it all off. And so I always talk about how, you know, that path, while it might feel weird because it's not a traditional way to treat debt, I feel like that path really opens up a lot of really positive opportunities, because then we're not treating the student loans like a debt. We're not trying to pay them off faster or throw every extra dollar we earn towards it. We have kind of permission, if you will, to put money towards other things like our family, our retirement accounts, our saving, you know, just anything else other than the loans. And so I think that can help you maybe mentally put yourself in a box to understand how you should be treating student loan debt, and also give you permission to not have to feel like you have to focus 1,000% on just the loans. So I do think that there's a healthy balance. I did think of another case study, but I'll let Rob add to this maybe if you want to, or Lauren, if you want to add a little bit to what I said.
Yeah. The thing that just kind of came to mind to me was the point that you said about like not having to throw everything at this debt and that you can work on other things in your financial life. So one of the clients that I had recently was talking about how awesome their dad was because they set up a Roth IRA for them at 18. And he was just saying, I'm so grateful for my dad for like, you know, the guidance to learn how to save and to you know, to get on that road and that path and to already have that as a habit. So that now he's like, okay, I feel really good about, you know, continuing to save while I'm tackling my student loan debt. And I just wanted to tell the dads out there that you can give your kids the gift of knowledge, and it's sometimes so much better than the gift of money. So, you know, there's a lot of different things, a lot of different buckets that you want to put things in. And I go back to like Rob giving that example of someone saying how much education actually costs. I think that what stood out to me for this gentleman that, you know, was saying how awesome his dad was like his dad taught him about the Roth IRA, how it works, what it does, and, you know, started putting a little bit away there so that he feels excited about like, oh, I have this thing that exists that is going to help me in the future. But if you decide to do what Megan was describing, which was the taxable forgiveness. So let's say as an example, you're someone out there that makes $75,000 and you owe $150,000 of student loan debt. You know, instead of trying to throw money as aggressively as possible and feel like you're not making any headway, doing this taxable forgiveness strategy, having some extra, being able to put that money into your kids' Roth IRA is going to make you feel really good. It's like, okay, I'm paying what I should toward my student loans, but I also have money for my own retirement to help my kids get started on saving. And you're going to feel a lot more empowered. So to be really mindful of the strategies that exist out there.
Yeah. And for any of you dads out there who listen to that are like, man, I am so far behind what other, it sounds like other dads are doing with their kids. Don't worry. Sometimes the best gift you can give to your kids is telling them that you don't know and that let's learn together. You know, I'm new to this too, just like you are, because it gives the kids a sense of empowerment that like they can be a little bit fallible too. And like, it's okay if they don't know everything. Like they think, you know, at least when they're young, they think their dads know everything. And then they get to a certain age, they think their dads know nothing. But I'm getting there with my oldest right now. He's like coming really close. But go on this journey together with the kids is like, can be such a blessing, such a great lesson to teach the teacher kids that, hey, it's okay if you don't know everything. Go out and seek the information. Let's get this right.
Amen. Amen. Megan, you said you had another case study for us.
Yeah. So I was thinking about a case I had. This probably was maybe a month or two ago, so not as recent. It was a father of three. Him and his wife were having a consult with me about his medical school debt. The wife had been working as a school teacher, but was very interested in staying at home with the kids because they're all at the age where they're rambunctious and, you know, she wanted to stay home and be that full-time caregiver, but they were feeling like their loan situation was preventing them from being able to do that. Cause I think he was initially going into this thinking, you know, we're going to pay this off as aggressively as possible. And that was going to be the sacrifice, that mom was also going to be working. He was going to be working as much as he could. And then that way, this was kind of twofold. They wanted to find out if that's how they should be treating this, like if mom needed to go back to work. And they also, like, their biggest concern too was they have three kids and they want them to go to school. So they were like, you know, we already started 529s, but we feel like we can't put money in them because we have to tackle my stuff. And so we went through the consult. This physician was, or he was going into residency, but his career path was naturally going to keep him in public service. And we talked about like the technicalities of how that program works and if he thought that that was something that he could see himself doing for the next technically 120 payments or about 10 years. And he said, yeah, actually, that's definitely where my career is going to be going. Like I'm going to be in a public service setting. So initially, he was also really nervous about that program. He had heard about it, but didn't do a lot of research into it because there's so much like bad negative press about PSLF out there. So he was just, I'm not going to bother, you know, but we talked about it. And really the only contingency for him on achieving that PSLF forgiveness was just going to be, are you going to continue working full time in public service? Because everything else we can control right now, you know, being on the right repayment plan, having the right types of loans, and then optimizing it. So we talked through PSLF. That looked like a really great strategy. It worked out to where mom did not have to work if she didn't want to, based on some of their other like household expenses and what they needed. And now that they weren't putting all of their extra money towards the loans, they felt a lot more comfortable thinking about planning for their kids' college. And so they were really excited about that, you know, hey, not only did we find out, you know, mom doesn't have to go to work. You know, she could stay home with the kids if she like. You know, dad can be the breadwinner for now. We can also comfortably be putting money into that 529 to make sure that they're in a better situation than maybe dad was with his amount that he had to borrow. So definitely some efficient strategies we can look at for helping dads out there and families that want to make sure that they've got the right game plan. But I thought that was a pretty cool example because it involved them really wanting to save for their kids' education because they didn't want them to go through what they went through. But yeah, it's also kind of funny because at the end of the day, it wasn't as bad as they thought either. So
I was just going to say too, I mean, if you're listening out there and you're thinking, gosh, Megan and Lauren know so much about student loans, I've got to say the reason is, I mean, I was like the first consultant other than Travis that came on board, but Megan has officially gotten to 1,000 consults faster than me. I'm not even there yet. Megan is there. And Lauren and I are like neck and neck, even though both of you came on to Student Loan Planner after I did, you know, you two are just like crushing it with all the consults. So you have so much more case studies and information than I do. So I just wanted to give you both a shout out for catching up and surpassing me, even though I was one of the first on board.
Well, you are the true dad of SLP. You're the oldest. And, you know, when you're older, you move a little bit slower. So come on, Grandpa, come on.
Oh, you know, Lauren.
You're totally right. You're totally right. You know, I just rejoined a gym actually yesterday. And I went, did a little bit of weightlifting today. I mean, super light, not a whole lot. And I'm hurting. So you're not wrong, Lauren.
No, it's because you're retired. You saved so well that you don't need to do as many consults as us. Megan and I are those young whippersnappers in the accumulation phase of life. You know.
Well, if that narrative works for you, that's fine. But I know that's not the case.
Who do you think is going to hit 1,000 first? You or Rob, Lauren? What do you guess?
I mean, I'm a racer. Like, I'm by nature competitive. So now that I know that we're neck and neck, I'm going to start picking it up a notch.
Yeah, Lauren's going to hit that turbo button and cross the finish line.
I think to wrap it up, maybe we could just talk a little bit about the impact of our dads on our lives. I think one of the things I always like to drive home on podcasts and other content that I do with SLP is behind the scenes is not just a consultant who's really good at figuring out your student loan life, but we're real people and we really, really care about this work and it's really, really important to us. But, you know, behind the person is a story and our dads are a part of our story. So do you guys want to share a little bit about your dads and the impact they had on your lives and or your finances?
I'll go. Yeah. So my dad unfortunately passed away in 2009. So when I was in high school, but I learned so much from him. You know, he taught me the value of hard work. He was my softball coach and basketball coach growing up, like all the way until high school. Like he was always there coaching and teaching me. And so, you know, I feel like I learned hard work from him and the value of earning your own dollar. Like my first job, I was a cashier at Ingles and I loved that job. And Ingles is a grocery store, if you don't know what that is. But loved it. But we talked about who FICA was on my pay stub the first time I got it because I didn't know what taxes were. And so taught me all that. But also, I think I learned a lot of like the coaching and teaching from him. And I think that's why I enjoy consulting so much and helping people with money because I really enjoy it. I know a lot of people don't. And I think if I can put a lot of my enthusiasm into the consults that I have with folks about their student loans and really educate them on their options, that they're better off, you know, at the end of the call. And I always joke too, at the end of my calls, I'm always like, you know, I hope this is a great way to end your day or a great way to start your week, even though it was about student loans. But, yeah. So I think those are some of the big takeaways and what I learned from my dad.
Well, he has a great legacy in you, Megan, for sure. You're definitely carrying the torch for him. And yeah, I know that couldn't have been easy, but obviously you're doing fantastic. So
thank you.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate. My dad is, you know, I love my dad. And I also have a great relationship with my father-in-law, which, you know, is not always the case. But I'll start with my dad. So my dad is really the main reason why I got involved in finances because it's not his primary career, but he grew up with nothing. I mean, his family was dirt poor, living in like Lower East Side Manhattan in like the 40s and 50s when nothing. And he got, you know, full scholarships to undergrad and full scholarships to graduate school. And, you know, he went to grad school at Case Western in Cleveland. And he and my mom, they only had enough money to drive to Canton, which is like 60 miles south, Canton, Ohio. And that's why we ended up there. And so hard work, but he was always at the dinner table. He would always sit in front of the computer. You know, this was like in the 90s and like was doing some investment stuff. And we would always kind of talk about that together and look over that stuff. So he's really the main reason why I got into finance. Beyond that, you know, he's a very loyal person. And so, you know, family first kind of person. And I feel like that's how I try to live my life too. My father-in-law, he's like 74 years old and he's like a kid. And he will do three different activities during the day. He can't sit still. And he has such a growth mindset. I mean, he still sets goals at the beginning of every year. He's sort of bridging into retirement. And everything for him is a learning experience. And he's taught me that, you know, never stop learning, never stop growing. Just because you're in your 70s doesn't mean you have to, you know, you're done with life. In fact, you can live your best life as you get older and older. So very fortunate to have two great father figures in my dad and my father-in-law. I'm very thankful for that. I feel very fortunate.
I love that. Lifelong learner. That's a huge, I think that's a hugely beneficial characteristic to have or like interest to have for yourself.
For sure. Yeah. And I didn't mention this, but my wife and I have been dating since 1999. So 22 years, more than half my life. And so like, I've known him for more than half my life. So he's kind of like dad to me too. And they live right around the corner from us in St. Louis. So I see him very often. It's been really great.
Oh, that is awesome. What about you, Lauren?
Yeah, my dad was the bomb.com too. So my dad passed away in 2008. And, you know, as I think about the things that were left behind, one, he was an awesome chef and I love to cook. So just like, even like you said, shedding gender roles. I think we have like a lot of male chefs in the world, but like in general, we think of gender role, like, oh, that the woman does the cooking and things. But yeah, my dad was a great cook. He totally taught me a lot of things about cooking. He was Caribbean descent. So that is one thing that I definitely know that was passed down from a legacy standpoint. But the other thing too, and I shared a little bit in a previous episode about coming from like a blended family and my parents doing a good job of sharing me, even though they decided to go their separate way. So I have five sisters and two brothers, and I don't actually share the same mom and dad with any of them. So generally, I don't share that with people because it's just like we think of each other as family. And I know that that's like the one thing that my dad really instilled in me is like, doesn't matter, you know, same mom, same dad, stepsister, half sister. Like, we don't say any of that. Like, we are a family. And so every environment that I step into, I just think of this as my family. Like, this is my SLP family, period. Like, there's nothing else that, you know, there's not levels of family or people I like the most. You know, in financial planning, I have a mastermind group. Once you're in, like, your family, that's it. Like, it's the same way, like, you know, some people say, like, blood is thicker than water. And I'm like, nah. Once I decide your family, there's, like, no way to not be my family. So we might get mad. We might get upset. We might have to take a break from each other. But really, like, the importance of family, I think, is the thing that my dad drove home. And then just hard work, for sure. He had all the jobs all the time. Always had some hustle going on, like, doing this thing, doing that thing, working here, working there. And, you know, as I look at, like, I hadn't even thought about it until I was listening to you all talk, but, you know, I do student loan planning. I run my own financial company. I have the Airbnb. I do a lot of public speaking. I'm like, oh, I got four jobs, like, just like my dad.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, is that, you're carrying the torch for your dad too. You're continuing his legacy also, which is fantastic. And he was there to see some of your Olympics, right? The 2004 one.
Yep, he was there for 2004, and he did not get to watch 2008 in person, but he did get to see that one on television.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Before he passed away, yeah. So,
well, I know that both of your dads would be proud. Just being a dad myself, I know special people when I see them, and you two are both very special. And I know your dads would be so proud of you.
No, you stop it, Rob.
Everybody's in their car, like, crying as they listen to this episode.
Well, I mean it. I mean it.
All right. I think it is time to wrap it up. We gave some good gems today. So, you know, from my point of view, I just want to say one more time to all the dads out there, you are awesome. We appreciate you. To the girl dads that are terrible at combing hair, to the dads that, like you said, are doing all the little things around the house, the ones that get the crappy Father's Day gifts and smile and accept it graciously, even though the mom's got the good gifts. We see you. We appreciate you. We know you're important. Each and every dad is making a huge impact on your child's life. And if you need to get a student loan plan to make sure that you're setting yourself up for the best financial future to be able to take care of your family, you can always find us at studentloanplanner.com.